April 15, 2019, a devastating fire breaks out in Notre Dame de Paris. And how do we respond as Christians? That's what we'll talk about today.
This is Timothy Talks Today, brought to you by Timothy Talks Podcast, where we unpack today's news and events with a biblical worldview.
Welcome back. Today we are having an episode of Timothy Talks Today, where we are talking about the latest news and events in the Christian world. My name is Daniel Pentiman. I'm here with Matthew Risher. And today what we're going to be talking about is the devastating fire that many of you know broke out in Notre Dame de Paris. It's the greatest cathedral in France. It's a symbol of Catholicism in France, and more than just a symbol of Catholicism, it's a symbol of medieval France, of the French nation and the French people. So April 15th, 2019, this fire starts. It seems that they were doing some renovations in the cathedral, and so at present, at least, they're saying that it may be related to that. There's no indication of foul play, anything weird going on like that. But this fire breaks out. As a result of the fire, the spire of the cathedral collapsed, and then the roof collapsed. And from what I've heard, it sounds like there was an inner roof and an outer roof. So the inner roof remains intact, but the outer roof was on fire. And you can imagine that such a historic building with so much rich heritage behind it, this is a devastating thing. It's a devastating thing for Catholics, it's a devastating thing for French people, and it's a devastating thing for anyone who's interested in medieval Europe. But the fire was put under control, and surprisingly, the damage is not quite as much as maybe we expected that it would be. Large parts are still intact. The main front facade of the building still intact. A lot of it's very similar. I actually had the opportunity to go to the cathedral back in, I believe it was 2015. Got to tour inside of it a little bit of time. I have a few pictures from there, and it is a magnificent building. There's a lot of history, and we're going to delve into this. Matt, you want to maybe tell us a little bit about what's going on with this cathedral? What's its history? What do you know about it? You've done some research.
Yeah, the Notre Dame Cathedral, or Notre Dame Cathedral if you're a football fan, it really started almost 1,000 years ago. About 1166, Bishop Maurice de Sully begun this project. And what had occurred on the site of where this cathedral lays, there was two basilicas that had previously been destroyed. And his idea was to create a grand structure, something really well known to the world, especially as a monument to Catholics. And it was consecrated and made for the Virgin Mary. It was in honor of her. So they began construction in 1160, and medieval construction takes a lot longer than modern construction.
You mean they didn't just put a big crane up there and hoist everything up to the top?
No, it wasn't a 5-10 year project. It was around 100 years it took. 1163, Pope Alexander III comes and he lays the foundation stone for the building. So this is a big project for Catholics. This is a big project for France. And a lot of money has gone into and will continue to go into this cathedral. Something we have to know about these, just different, what does the term cathedral even mean? Why is this significant? What separates this from, say, just a regular church in the Catholic faith? Well, cathedrals plays a special role in the Roman Catholic world. A cathedral is where the bishop sits. So it is the most prominent type of church building, the most powerful type of church building in the area. So this isn't just any church that caught fire in France. This is the church of the area that these events are transpiring upon. So it's important for us to understand, you know, really the scope of what's going on here. Like I said, it took about 100 years for this building to be completed, and you can go to 7 different websites and you'll get 7 different dates for when it was officially completed. But for sake of just our knowledge, just think about 100 years. You know, some people have as early as 1245, some people will stretch it out to 1280, and the reality is this structure has been, in a sense, under construction since the beginning. There's things that have always been added to it, as such as the spire in the 18th century was added to the cathedral. It originally did not have that spire that we saw burnt down in the videos, if you had a chance to watch those. But this also isn't the first major desecration of this cathedral. The French Revolution paid its fair wage on this structure, and much of the religious imagery was destroyed and needed to be rebuilt. And that was in the 18th century, late 18th century. So it's bounced back before, and for all intents and purposes, we assume that it will bounce back again as a structure, as a monument, as a historical site. And it's interesting, when you think of France, when you think of Paris in particular, this is the structure that people go to. This is the most visited monument in Paris, in all of France. And it averages about 12 million people who visit annually. You know, you've mentioned that you visited it, and, you know, I'm scrolling on Facebook, I'm seeing a bunch of friends who have traveled abroad, and they've all visited this structure. So this is a interesting thing in the broader world. A lot of eyes are on Paris, France of the past week. And yeah, we've seen, you know, the importance of this event, in history and for specifically the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, I can tell you when I first heard the news that the building was burning, it was this sense of, like, that doesn't happen today.
Yeah.
Really? You hear about buildings burning in the past and all these great wonders, but we're in the 21st century, so like, does that really happen today? But, wow, it's astonishing to think that that literally just happened a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there was good news. The Hunchback made it out.
The Hunchback
made it out. So the Hunchback made it out. Good news. Thank you, Victor Hugo, for that story. Probably one of the more reasons why it's famous now is due to that story. But the Hunchback made it out.
Well, that's more good news from the sea. Well, like you said, Matthew, the significance of this building for France and for Catholicism is very significant. And France has a very long history of connection with Christianity in one form or another. So as far back as the late 1st century / early 2nd century, there was Christian activity going on in the region of Gaul. Today we think of France, but back then it was known as Gaul, part of the Roman Empire. Irenaeus of Lyon was a famous Christian writer from the 2nd century who lived in this region of Gaul. But even though there were Christians in Gaul, wasn't really until Clovis I in the late Roman / early medieval period brought Christianity as the official religion of this region. And at that time, it was known as Francia. It was the Frankish Empire. He was really the first king of the Franks as a king per se. Later on, Charlemagne, the most famous of the early French kings, and the Carolingian Empire, it was very much a Christian-based, its identity was in the Christian faith. Now, by this time, of course, we're veering away from the earliest faith as Paul and Peter would have known it to more of a centralized structure where Rome is the center of this religion. So we're in that shifting period where it becomes more of a Catholicism as such. During the Middle Ages, France was a very decentralized area. So the king was technically the king of France, but he didn't have a complete control. He couldn't just order people, you go do this, you go do that. He was in a power struggle with his nobles. So France was still in this formative period, but nationalism would arise. And very soon, late medieval period, the French people are actually beginning to think of themselves as French. And so they're looking at what is it in our history that makes us a united group. But the Reformation came, it changed everything about France and how the French thought of religion. So we often think of John Calvin as one of the central figureheads of the Reformation. He was a Frenchman. That's the interesting thing to remember. John Calvin was a Frenchman. He didn't live in France. He lived in the French-speaking city of Geneva in Switzerland. But he obviously had a tremendous effect on the city, a very tremendous effect on the country, and there was a lot of tension during those days. There was religious war, French Catholics and French Protestants trying to determine the fate of which direction France would go. The most famous event, probably 1517, the night of August 23rd to 24, is known as St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre. And that was a significant massacre. Between 5,000 to 30,000 Protestants were killed in Paris and in other French cities. So that's a little bit of sort of the history of why Catholicism in France is such a big deal, because it has this long history. There's been a lot of struggle, a lot of tension around that. But we'll be back in here in a moment. We're going to talk about the response from France and how, as Christians, we should respond to this We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. If you're enjoying the Timothy Talks podcast show today, consider doing us a favor and give us a positive rating on iTunes. This way other people can hear the show too. And if you have a friend or family member who would enjoy this content, please pass it on. You can send them to www.timothytalkspodcast.com, or they can subscribe through their favorite podcast app. And welcome back to Timothy Talks today. So we're talking about Notre Dame de Paris, the French cathedral. And what is the French response to this disaster been, Matthew?
Yeah, there's been overwhelming support from nationals, from the Roman Catholic Church, from donors, from supporters. Estimates of over $700 million have poured in to help rebuild this structure. So there's definitely a cry from the people to rebuild the structure, and it goes all the way to the top. President Emmanuel Macron, who is the president of France, he says that he wants this project to be rebuilt. He wants the cathedral to once again have the glory that it did, and he wants this to be done within 5 years. So there's already a plan in place to recreate the structure, to renovate, to improve even the structure. Like I said, since the 12th century, this building has been under construction. And there's been periods of times where it hasn't been, but consistently it's been being rebuilt or things added on to it. So this is just another step in that direction. But one thing I want us to take note of is to consider, a question that should come to our mind as Christians is, was anyone injured? When you see the graphics on TV and you see the fire blazing, when we see it, say, for instance, in California, we're wondering, who's injured? How are people injured? How are people doing? And that's the proper response. Well, fortunately, that there's been no deaths. But three people have been injured, and all three of them were people who are in active duty, whether firefighters or policemen. And really, we can take a second to just pause and as Christians reflect and remember that we have brave men and women. So we want to be able to pray for, firefighters and our policemen and our paramedics and those who are really a lot of times risking their life every day to make sure we have the freedoms and abilities to do the things that we ought to do and want to do. They really paved the way for us to do that. So we can take a moment to reflect on them, be considerate of these people who serve. And it's not just in America, but we also see that it's abroad. It's in many countries and many people are serving.
Well, probably the question that's going to impact us the most, because this is events on the other side of the world, but it does have an effect on us today. How should we be thinking about this now? Obviously, I've already said a couple times to the effect that I'm saddened to hear about this. I was glad to have visited the place, but I know that there's a lot of Christians who have very conflicting thoughts on this. Some people are very sad. They're distraught over this. Other people seem to almost be glad, and I've actually seen that people are glad this is Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism is not biblical Christianity, so this is great that this happened. And what is the biblical response? Should we be sad about this?
Yeah, and one thing we want to make very clear in the forefront is by no means are we advocating Roman Catholic theology. If you've listened to us for, a while, you understand that we have a sharp dividing line between what we believe and what we know that Roman Catholics believe. But nonetheless, that does not make us inhumane. That does not make us hostile towards peoples. We stand for the truth, and we are unashamed to do that. But this is not a time to mock. This is not a time to jest. This isn't a time, in a sense, where we can really sympathize with people and comfort people who are struggling with the ramifications that this means in their faith. But also going to be a time where we can open up and share why our faith is greater. We as Christians, we as Protestants, we as those who believe in justification by faith alone, we understand that our hope is not built in structures and buildings and relics and popes. No, it's a hope that's built on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So though this world can pass away, we have an everlasting hope. And we can really use that as a witnessing tool to share with people that the Bible teaches and our faith is in something far greater than a structure, than a building. So we want to be balanced in our response. And we don't want to be to the extremes like you mentioned. We don't want to be those who are jesting at this. We don't want to be those who are mocking the Catholics on this. But we also don't want to be those who are driving an agenda that says, oh, they're just like us, and we really need to be wailing over this. No, we're sad for the people. We're sad for France.
So there's a lot of heritage side, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can elaborate on that if you'd like.
Yeah, well, it's an incredible heritage, and you think of how many buildings no longer exist from the medieval period. It was a very unique period in history, and certainly beautiful architecture, regardless of what you think about even the religious side of it. This is a priceless treasure of a building.
Yeah.
It's priceless art. It's priceless on many respects. So there's that aspect too.
Yeah, we're almost 1,000 years into the original construction of this building. And think about it. We get excited about houses that are built in the 1970s. You know, we're like, oh, we got a real old antique house built in 1964. This is the 12th century. This is a long time ago. This is cool. I mean, we can enjoy the creativity. We can enjoy the artistic ability of those who constructed something to this degree. And we can appreciate that as Christians, knowing that God has given gifts to all different kinds and types of people. But again, we don't place our hope in these things. And that's what really will separate us and does separate us from the Roman Catholic Church and their beliefs.
Yes. And one other thought that I had on this is that if you take this to the logical, and again, this is just not a correct approach that we should in any way be glad about this, but if you were to take that to the logical extreme, then you should be eager for us to go back and the ancient ruins from Rome should be destroyed, shouldn't they? Because that was an unchristian society and such. And we obviously don't want that. We, as Christians, actually are oftentimes on the forefront of wanting those things to be preserved because they do reveal the world at a certain time and place, and they document the history of Christianity. Mm-hmm. So we don't want those ruins destroyed, so why would we want these ruins? Not that they're ruins, why would we want these structures, monuments and structures destroyed? I don't think that
absolutely. We do. And it's interesting, I mean, all of recorded history has been unveiled, and it's God's revelation. God is revealing himself throughout all of history. And all of these things we look back at and we marvel at, we get excited about, but we see how God's hand works in every place at every time. And so we should be excited about history. It's something that we'll always look back to and can learn from and grow from and appreciate our heritage. Although, you know, this is a Catholic monument, but we can reflect on our heritage, the Protestant heritage in France through the centuries and all the way back, like you said, to Irenaeus.
Well, that's it from Timothy Talks today. Thank you so much, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening to Timothy Talks Today, brought to you by Daniel Pensimo and Matthew Risher. Join us for our regular podcast every Monday.